May 7th at the Best Western in Sheridan.
Cowboy State Monuments, a division of Sheridan Funeral Home, is here to help you with many types of monuments. We help you choose the right remembrance for your loved one's resting place. Or if you need other types of monuments, such as name or address signs for your home or business, we can help you with those too. Whatever type you need, we work with you to create your perfect monument. Reach out to Cowboy State Monument Company, a division of Sheridan Funeral Home, at 307-683-9200.
Live music and dancing are back for a second round. Swing into Sheridan is back with another live music event for all ages at the Sheridan Inn. It's something fun and safe for everyone. The upcoming show is April 26th, featuring Brandon James and the Yehus. The cost is just $10 a person, so swing into Sheridan with the music of Brandon James and the Yehus, Friday, April 26th, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the historic Sheridan Inn, sponsored in part by our friends at Sheridan Media.
The Bighorn Home Builders Home and Garden Show was another huge success, thanks in part to all the vendors and the community. First Federal was proud to be a major sponsor again. We hope you got a lot of ideas for this spring and summer. Let the team at First Federal Bank and Trust help you achieve your dream of home ownership. We offer a variety of loan programs, refinancing options, and lot and construction loans. Making home happen wherever you are. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning and welcome to Public Pulse. This morning I am joined by University of Wyoming Director of Institutional Communications, Mr. Chad Baldwin. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning, Floyd.
How are things down in Laramie?
Hey, great. It's a happening place, Floyd. Semester's kind of getting ready to come to a close. Lots of activities and events and a beautiful day today for students out on Frexies and everywhere, so it's a great time of year.
Has finals begun yet?
Nope, that's not till the first week of May, so.
So they still got a little time.
yep, that's right.
I'm sure everyone's working on big projects right now, looking at those tests and counting down the days. Now, how has the semester been?
Been great. Lots of exciting things going on. New dorms being built. In addition to the law school, the project going on over at the football stadium, and a lot of really interesting work being done by our faculty and our students.
How are those dorms coming along? Last time I was in Laramie, I think they were just breaking ground.
There's great progress being made. Floyd, you ought to come check it out. The buildings are taking shape, and next year,
wow.
next year we'll be in them. It's a fun thing to see happening. It's rising up from the ground, and not as tall as the older residence halls, but four stories, and they're right next to the Union there and Half Acre, and so it'll be a really cool addition to campus
and a great location. How many students will these new dorms house?
900.
900.
Between the two of them, yeah, and a new dining facility in there with them as well.
Oh wow! So they just built another one. They're not closing the original, are they?
Well, at some point they will, Floyd, but not. It's not immediate.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, that old place over there. I always thought that was one of the most beautiful locations on campus. Now, when it comes to the things that are happening down there in the science world, a recent study has just found the length of time that Yellowstone Lake is covered by ice each year has not changed in a century. Now, that's despite warming temperatures within the region. Chad, what prompted this study? Was it just an observation that somebody said, wow, I can't believe there's still ice out there?
Well, so Russia Tronstadt, she's one of our researchers here at UW. She's done a lot of work at Yellowstone Lake. She, for example, did a lot of research on what the decline of the cutthroat trout there because of the lake trout introduction meant for things like grizzly bears and that kind of stuff. So she's very familiar, spends a lot of time up there on a variety of projects. And what they decided, let's take a look, because their research at other lakes in North America has shown that there's less ice cover now because it's warmer. And the thing that's interesting in this particular lake is people have been keeping records there since 1927 at the ranger station there at Lake Village. And they said, oh, let's analyze these data for ice on and ice off. And then let's compare it with how the air temperatures have changed over the century. And so they analyzed the data and reached this very interesting conclusion. This Yellowstone Lake is an outlier in this. There just hasn't been any change in that. And they along with that, they analyzed how much snowfall has been falling there. And unlike other parts of the state, snowfall has actually increased at Yellowstone Lake.
Wow.
And so they think that increased snowfall has provided a more of a buffer against the higher temperatures, so the ice can just stay for longer.
This is really interesting. Is this, one thing I love about science is often it doesn't find answers. It finds more questions that we have to go out and answer. And one that I've got is, have they figured out why the snow has increased throughout the years, even though there is a warming? I do realize that it can get so cold that it doesn't snow. And so maybe the warming is kind of, for lack of a better term, just kind of kicking that snow in the butt. Have they figured that part out yet?
They haven't, Floyd. And the thing that's interesting is that in the upper Green River Basin, which is, probably 100 miles or so just to the south there in the Wind Rivers, their snowfall has declined there.
Wow.
So in that same basic region of the state, there's a discrepancy in the snow and the snow trends. So, I'm sure Dr. Tronstad would say that's a job for, more like climate specialists or like the people, atmospheric researchers to do. She's more of an on-the-ground person. But I don't know this for sure, but I suspect there are people looking into that phenomenon.
That is a strange anomaly, that snow would increase there and yet decrease just 100 miles south of that. So the ice essentially is staying on the lake due to the amount of snow that is insulating it in a way.
Yep, that's their conclusion. And, there's more that could be done, I think, to probably confirm that. But in looking for answers, that was the one that jumped out at them. It's like, this is probably what's causing this to be different than other lakes in North America.
What a strange phenomenon. there are so many things that make Yellowstone special and different than any place on Earth. And here's one more that we can add to that pile. It's really interesting to see where she's going to take this. If someone does say, well, why is that snow the way that it is? Let's try and figure that out. I'm curious as to what they might find. Moving on is a program that you have started recently because of all the Bitcoin and blockchain trends that have kind of swept through the nation. University of Wyoming really jumped on it. And now the university has one of the top blockchain programs in the entire nation. Chad, what is it that sets UW apart in this field?
It's the ability of our students in this program to actually do work on real-world problems. It's actually involved with companies and doing the actual real work rather than just the theory of it.
Interesting. And so they sit around and they're presented with a problem. Now,
yep.
I'm sure they know, this is what's really going on in the field right now. Can you solve it type of situation?
Yep. Yeah, that's right. I'll confess, Floyd, I don't really understand it that much myself. But it's a big field right now, And it's important in the business sector and a whole bunch of sectors. And students who come to UW have a chance to be in, what, according to this assessment, the number two blockchain program in the whole country.
And it's the number two in the country. How is understanding blockchain going to benefit folks in the future? I mean, obviously, this is one of those situations where, look, this isn't just a trend. This is here to stay. And we'll talk about a philosopher later on in the show who presented some amazing points about Bitcoin and blockchain and how it kind of levels the playing field. If you were to tell someone, you know, to get to know this type of stuff, what is the reason you would give them?
Well, it's pretty simple, Floyd. It's job security. It's career potential. This gives you a skill set that's that will get you a good job. And it could be right here in Wyoming, quite frankly, because it's a growing industry in our own state because the legislature and the governor have made that a priority.
Yeah, this isn't going anywhere, is it, Chad? This is here to stay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is a chance to, you know, we have in our press release we did about it, we have, you know, a student talking about how she's from Cheyenne. She didn't even know what blockchain was, enrolled in the course, and now it's like she loves it. She's involved in it completely, and it's like this is going to be her career.
Wow. Wow. Could you, I mean, imagine that, enrolling in one class out of curiosity, and all of a sudden it changes the course of your entire career.
Yep.
That's right. Absolutely amazing. And knowing this type of stuff is going to be somewhat like knowing a language and being able to go in and speak to the people who know it best on their level. So I would suggest to anybody out there, if you're looking at any kind of financial investments in your future, and the majority of us should, this should be an option. Blockchain, Bitcoin, get to know the language. Understand what they're talking about when they talk about this stuff on the news, because this stuff is the future. And in a way, that future is right now. We're going to have more with our University of Wyoming right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
The Bighorn Home Builders Home and Garden Show was another huge success, thanks in part to all the vendors and the community. First Federal was proud to be a major sponsor again. We hope you got a lot of ideas for this spring and summer. Let the team at First Federal Bank and Trust help you achieve your dream of home ownership. We offer a variety of loan programs, refinancing options, and lot and construction loans. Making home happen wherever you are. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Sheridan Johnson County Cremation Services, a division of Sheridan Funeral Home, is here to serve your loved ones that choose cremation. It is an honor for our team of certified professionals to guide your loved one with care and respect throughout the entire process. To us, this is a service and a ministry to our friends and community members. It is our honor to be there when you need us. To find out more, visit SheridanFuneral.com. Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremations, compassionate professional service for the Sheridan community.
This is Ken here at Prime Rate Motors. We understand everybody's situation is different. Not everyone that comes to Prime Rate Motors is looking for a new vehicle. We also sell and install GR brand flatbed conversions and Krogman bale feeders. Looking for a trailer? We offer a complete line of GR, Wilson, Merritt, flatbeds, stock trailers, even tandem axle enclosed cargo trailers. Stop in, let's work something out. Here at Prime Rate Motors, the Super Trailer Store, or PrimeRateMotors.com.
Live music and dancing are back for a second round. Swing into Sheridan is back with another live music event for all ages at the Sheridan Inn. It's something fun and safe for everyone. The upcoming show is April 26th, featuring Brandon James and the Yehus. The cost is just $10 a person, so swing into Sheridan with the music of Brandon James and the Yehus, Friday, April 26th, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the historic Sheridan Inn, sponsored in part by our friends at Sheridan Media.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
Do you want to help veterans in our community who are struggling? The Veteran Village is welcoming individual and business sponsors for the 2024 Ruck Race on May 18th. Profits go directly to assist local veterans. For more information, call us at 307-683-6052. That's 683-6052. You can find out more online at veteranvillageyo.org.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with University of Wyoming Director of Institutional Communications, Chad Baldwin. Now, recently, a UW philosophy professor spoke at a Bitcoin policy summit. Now, you may be out there wondering, why the heck is a philosophy professor speaking at a Bitcoin summit? Chad, who was this professor, and why was he there?
Yeah, so this is Bradley Rettler. He's an associate professor in our philosophy department, and he's kind of making a name for himself right now. He co-wrote a book about Bitcoin, and it's called the Philosophical Case for Bitcoin. And he argues that Bitcoin is actually a net benefit to the world, even though it's an imperfect thing. We've heard there's been some scandal associated with Bitcoin for some bad actors out there. But Dr. Rettler is basically making the case overall. You got to look at this as a positive development for society, and so that's getting some attention and got him on the stage of a big conference in Washington D.C. with members of Congress. One of them was Senator Lummis from our own state of Wyoming. He's a big advocate in this area. And so that sort of shows that, philosophers aren't, they're not just, rusty academics there who, pontificate in lectures. They're out there doing things. Our philosophy department also played a big role in a separate thing where they're doing some work with inmates in our prison system in Wyoming here too.
Really?
They're teaching Stoicism, which is, helps people kind of deal with tough situations.
Yes, absolutely.
And also doing some program we call our Pathways to Prison program, which is helps inmates get degrees while they're serving their time. So anyway, that's a different thing. But Dr. Rettler's his book is it's like a bestseller among philosophy books according to Amazon.
That's incredible. And I bet it was kind of probably difficult for some people to try and bridge that gap. Philosophy, Bitcoin. But everything boils down to the philosophy of a practice, right?
Right.
And so to sit there and listen to a philosopher who's taken the time to try and think these things out, someone who's actually trained to do so, I think it's definitely worth your effort to look into not just the professor, but the book and see what his ideas are. And then to be invited to a Bitcoin policy summit, I think is a big deal as well. As we travel through the nether of time and we move this Bitcoin along with us, I think it's only going to improve from here. Did he say whether or not he felt the same?
Well, I think he sees a good future for it. You bet. I mean, his argument is that it's Bitcoin is different maybe from some other cryptocurrencies, and that when it was founded, it was not an inside deal. It was accessible to everybody. So it's like it's the oldest, it's the biggest and most used cryptocurrency, but it's also it's how you can say it's not. It's egalitarian, maybe? Is that the word? It's accessible to everybody.
Level playing field all the way across. Put your money in there. It's just like anybody else who does the same thing. As far as we could tell, there's absolutely no type of insider who has an advantage over anything going forward. That really is a fantastic advantage for the common man. There's a lot of us who don't really understand Wall Street and things like that. But I will go as far as to say that my brother has invested quite a bit of money in Bitcoin, and he has seen good returns on that. Now, I am in no way someone who could give any kind of investment advice ever, but I would say that Bitcoin isn't going anywhere, as you and I were discussing in the previous segment, and it's only going to get better from here, I would imagine, because this is really the currency of the future, especially if it goes along with what the professor was saying. Level playing field. Everybody enters the field at the same degree. I think that's amazing. So his book is available on Amazon.
That's right.
Now, UW also recently named the third cohort of Wyoming Teacher Mentor Corps. Chad, what is the Wyoming Teacher Mentor Corps?
So this is a program the university is leading across the state, and it's basically a teacher retention effort, Floyd. We know that a lot of our K-12 teachers, you know, it's a tough field, and some of them have a hard time, you know, finding their way in it and end up wanting to get out of it and try something new. And this is an effort to provide support from a longtime teachers to serve as mentors for newer teachers across the state. And it's really cool to see. It's the third year of it now. There are dozens of teachers scattered all across the state who have agreed to serve as mentors. They get a little bit of training. They spend some time on campus, and then they're connected with younger teachers and try to help them navigate things. And it's, you know, I haven't heard, I don't know that yet really reported on results. Has it increased retention or not? I think maybe it's still a bit early to see that. But, you know, when you have, like here's what I'm reading about, a 22-year teacher in Lander, and you know, she's like, she wants to help other teachers, you know, figure things out. And that's great. That's just a great idea, and it's being executed through the leadership of our College of Education here.
How does one become a cohort? Is it something that they have to apply for? Does the university approach them?
They do. It's an application process. That's right. And you can nominate somebody, too.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah. So I go to the website for the Wyoming Teacher Mentor Corps, and you can nominate teachers.
Now, once you're named a cohort, what are your duties after that, if any?
So that's where they do have a period of time. I think it's in the summertime when they come on campus for at least a few days, get some training, get some, you know, and network with each other, right, on ideas, and then you have an obligation to actually connect with the teachers they're going to mentor. And I can't give you the details on what all those relationships look like. I suspect there's some variation perhaps around that. There's not a standard approach to it, perhaps. But it's that one-on-one interaction with other teachers that's the key part of it.
Now, was there a teacher named from Sheridan County?
Yeah, I think there's, if I'm not mistaken, there's three, Floyd.
Oh, that's fantastic.
A couple in Sheridan itself, Lucas Dow, he's an assistant principal. And then Megan Garnhart, she teaches computer science at Sheridan High School. They're going to be mentors, and then in Ranchester, in I believe it's the Bighorn District, it's Ashley Mines, a middle school literacy coach. Do I have that right? Is District 1? It's based in Ranchester. Is that the Bighorn School District?
I do believe so.
Okay, yeah. So she's a literacy coach there in the middle school.
That is absolutely fantastic. To know that this program runs with a bunch of teachers who have endured through so much. I mean, you want to talk about a profession that can change overnight. Policies change, school boards change. This could be a very difficult job. And to have somebody trained come in and kind of teach you the best way to get through these changes, or the best way to get through, you know, the drudges that we all kind of face in our job, you know, thinking about changing a career, but then you reignite that spark and you've got another teacher ready and set to go for decades. I really appreciate this entire program, especially in that field. I wouldn't say it's thankless, but underappreciated for sure. Chad, I want to thank you so much for calling in this morning, my friend. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
You bet, Floyd. Thanks for the time.
All right. When we come back, we're going to speak with our Sheridan County Public Library Youth Services Manager, Zola Shockley. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
The Bighorn Home Builders Home and Garden Show was another huge success, thanks in part to all the vendors and the community. First Federal was proud to be a major sponsor again. We hope you got a lot of ideas for this spring and summer. Let the team at First Federal Bank and Trust help you achieve your dream of home ownership. We offer a variety of loan programs, refinancing options, and lot and construction loans. Making home happen wherever you are. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This is Kim Love. I have the good news many of you have been waiting for. Frackleton's will be reopening as soon as possible. The biggest thing slowing down our reopening will be our ability to staff the restaurant. So if you are interested in working for Frackleton's or know of anyone who would be interested, please stop by the Country Bounty offices at 303 South Main or email your resume to kimlove@sheridanmedia.com. Look forward to having Frackleton's back better than ever.
Pella windows are made for extremes. From blazing hot summers to freezing cold winters, with energy efficiency options to keep you comfortable and save you money year-round, and now enjoy extreme savings at Pella of Wyoming.
Get 20% off qualifying Pella projects or 0% APR for 36 months. Offer ends 5/31/2024. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
Pella is ready for extremes. Make sure your home is too. Learn more at PellaSheridan.com.
Moss Holders wants you to begin sleeping better this spring. So right now, every mattress is on sale, and one lucky customer will win a brand new Serta or Simmons Beautyrest mattress. Every customer that comes into Moss Holders can enter for a chance to win the mattress of their choice. But even if you're not the lucky customer, you can still find your favorite mattress and save on every purchase. Not only that, but you'll get even bigger savings on all sheets, mattress protectors, pillows, and adjustable foundations. That's Moss Holders Mattress Giveaway going on now. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
The grass is greening up and things are happening at Kendrick Golf Course. The course looks to be in great shape and the clubhouse is prepped for use. While there are a lot of new things happening, rates are still extremely reasonable, making Kendrick Golf Course Sheridan's best golf value. Whether you are an avid golfer or someone just learning the game, Kendrick is the perfect course for you. Golf this season at Kendrick Golf Course.
You hear that? Why, that's the sound of your lawn not getting mowed right. Those blades are out of kilter. Annette Carb is set to choke instead of yodel. You have to add air to your mower tires every time you use it? Well, that's not good for the environment. Using up all that air causing global warming? Hendo Service Center can take the hickey up out of your giddy up and have that mower running smoother than Tennessee whiskey. Hendo Service Center, located on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I am joined by Sheridan County Public Library System Youth Services Manager, Zola Shockley. Good morning and welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
As you can see, the studio has changed a little bit since you've last been here.
I know, it's completely different.
It's been a while since I got to see you.
I've never been here before.
It's brand new. It's all brand new. How have things been down at the library?
Very busy. Very, very good. We're having a fun time at the library, as always.
Are you seeing, and I always ask everybody this, but are you seeing like a lot of kids, we're talking like anywhere from junior high, maybe even a little younger, all the way up through high school, come through at a consistent rate?
Yeah, we definitely have, you know, our regulars, and we might talk about this later in the program, but we now have a food pantry on site, so I get to see a lot of the teens come over from the other side more, so I see how many we actually have there at that point. So it's a lot more than I thought, because now that there are snacks.
I was gonna say, are they coming over to grab a snack?
Yeah, that's exactly, that's why we have it. We encourage them to, but I get to see some kids that I don't usually see being just in the children's area.
I think that's so great. And now when it comes to kind of newer books that you've seen hit the trends? I mean, we had, gosh, if we reach back years and years, you know, we're going to have to look at Harry Potter. And then people started reading Hunger Games. And then they went from Hunger Games to the Twilight series. There seems to be, like, big hit movies. The Harry Potter generation, I like to call them, because she really did inspire
an entire generation, yes.
To read books. Yeah. Go back to the printed page. Have you seen anything really hit with kids lately?
We always have this discussion at the library trying to figure out, you know, what is the next Harry Potter? And I would say that I can't pick a certain title. And I think that that's actually a really great thing because it means that there are more books for kids. Used to be Harry Potter was really the only fantasy that you could get everywhere. I mean, boy, there are great British fantasy authors from the 80s who wrote children's stuff. Yeah. Diana Wynne Jones, you know, and so you have all of that. But modern, everybody has something that will speak to them. And that's pretty new. And I think that that's really good. I would say the biggest trend that I've seen right now are graphic novels. Graphic novels are really, really great because they get kids who are maybe reluctant readers reading, but also those high-level readers who can zip through any book like to zip through those because it reminds them that reading can be enjoyable and relaxing and it doesn't have to be a stressful thing, which is important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one thing that I've spoke with Cameron about, I spoke with a lot of people about, people might want to say kids aren't reading as much as they used to, or people aren't reading as much as they used to because they don't have newspapers in their hands when they're walking around, or they're not carrying their favorite novel in their bag. Although I do know people who actually do.
Oh yeah.
And they'll knock out a chapter at lunch.
Yeah.
But, I think with the advent of the cellular phone and the way that it's advanced through time, that is reading all the time.
Oh, I think so. 100%. I mean, I think it's important to look at what you're reading and what value it has. Yeah. So it's not all, you know, BuzzFeed articles about what kind of cheese you are. But I think it's fine to know that, like, you can have fun. Reading lets you have fun and open these doors. Like, as I was talking about the graphic novels, like, kids are coming in and they're like, this is the most popular book at school. I have to have it. I have to be seen with it.
Yeah.
So I think that that's something that's pretty rare.
And so cool.
And as I talk to adults, I'm talking to a lot of parents or caregivers who don't have time to read. And we talk about how great audiobooks are.
Yeah.
Because you can do other things while listening to your audiobook. And we have our online app, Libby. If you don't have it, install it. I'm always going to parties and talking about Libby. I'm not allowed at parties anymore. So, yeah, and you can get free audiobooks because Audible's expensive. Most of those cost a lot, but Libby's completely free. You can get ebooks, audiobooks, and it allows you to multitask.
Yeah.
And I don't think that listening to an audiobook is any less enriching than reading a physical book.
I would agree. My wife goes through these spouts of, okay, she's on this podcast until that runs out, and then she'll move to something else. And recently, it's been the audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many books she's knocked out just doing things around the house or doing art. She's got her own art room, and she'll go back there for hours. And the whole time she's back there, she'll be listening to a book.
Yeah.
And I've always felt, I used to listen to the old CD books when I was driving across the state to drill.
People still do. We still have them.
And that's fantastic because I agree with you. I don't think there's anything less about listening to it as opposed to reading it.
No. It I mean, especially if it means that you're reading a book when you wouldn't have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm a librarian. I have so many books that I want to read. I don't get a chance to read that many books, except for I can listen to audiobooks, and I can read over 100 books in a year that way. You know, maybe I'm only reading one physical one a month, but I still am able to make recommendations and process that information based off of that. So
absolutely. And you can multitask at the same time. Yeah. You could be getting all kinds of things done.
I'm always getting all the things done. And then I don't have to sit alone with my thoughts while I do
there
that,
you go.
Which is
you can
amazing.
Escapism. It's amazing. Now, when it comes to the position that you've taken, as the youth services manager, because how long have you been in this position now?
We will be going on my third year, I believe. This will be my third summer reading program.
My
I got
goodness.
Hired in
Zola,
August.
The time has flown by.
I know. That's I'm trying to think now. I'm like, I don't know how long have I been the children's supervisor. Yeah. So this is going to be my third summer reading program, and I just cannot wait for it. It's my favorite time of year.
Tell us about this, because summer is right around the corner, mm-hmm. and a lot of people do get worried. You know, the kids are going to lay the books down. They're going to go to the video games. They're going to go to the Marvel movies, and they're not going to be doing it. Tell me about the summer reading program.
So the summer reading program this year, our theme is Adventure Begins at Your Library. And each week we will be discussing a children's adventure book. So, for example, our first week is going to be James and the Giant Peach. So we'll be talking about bugs in that. Peaches probably. So everything's going to revolve around that. But if you're not old enough to enjoy James and the Giant Peach, don't worry. We'll have associated materials that will still be enjoyable. But we're going to keep up our trend that we've done where children can read 5 days a week, 20 minutes a day, and complete the program over 7 weeks and get all of the prizes. They get a prize every week if they do that. So it's not about number of books read. It's about the time spent reading, which is what they mostly suggest to prevent the backslide in schools, is 5 days a week, 20 minutes a day. By all means, if you want to read more than that, which most kids do, great, yeah. Do it. And it also counts for younger kids for listening if you're a pre-reader. Audiobooks count. They don't have to be from our library. Magazines count. Whatever you're doing is great. So,
as long as the reading is taking place.
Yeah, we're not trying to interrogate children.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just want them to have fun and enjoy coming to the library and knowing that something is out there for them. And we're going to have programs going on every single day. So, I mean, we're located in a really great place, the library, where you can spend an entire afternoon downtown basically for free. We have the Y right there. We have Whitney. If you walk, you can get to Kendrick. There's so much to do in our area. And then you can always swing back to the library and check out your books at the end of it. So
that was always one thing that me and my daughter shared, maybe because I kind of imparted that on her. But going into a library, visiting the library during the weekend, like on a Saturday, was something that we used to do quite a bit. It burned an afternoon, and I would find her in some aisle, sitting down, looking through all these books. What are those called? Manga?
Manga.
Manga. Excuse me. I apologize. Manga. She
you don't have to say excuse me to me, but your listeners might be upset about that one.
Kids, boy, that has got a harsh fan base, doesn't it?
Really,
I mean,
does.
Devoted individuals, and she's one of them. And she would just sit there and read that stuff for hours,
yeah.
And love it. And that was a whole afternoon. That was a good weekend. It's getting us out of the house. It's getting us to a place that doesn't cost me a whole lot of money. And we get to go, and she gets to look through books that are available, books that she can check out. She also learned how to use the library system.
Yes, very
important. On those
important.
Weekends. Absolutely it is. And so I think that's a great idea. It's a great way for a family to spend an afternoon, even if it's just, what is my child interested in? I think I learned more about my kid by paying attention to what she was reading than anything else,
mm-hmm.
because she did become an avid reader. She loves her books, and she even asked for a Nook for Christmas. I was like, a Nook? Don't you own a phone?
Hey, sometimes it's nicer to have the bigger one. I have a Paperwhite, so it doesn't hurt my eyes, you know.
She loves that thing.
I'm getting older. I need to look after my eyes.
We all are, my friend. Now, to start all of this off, story time. Something where we can get our littles customized to the going to the library and seeing the value in that.
Yes. Story time is... used to be the scariest thing that I did in my job when I first started, and now it's my most favorite thing that I look forward to every week. It's a great chance for anybody to come in. We generally say preschool age, so 5 and under. We have Tuesdays for kind of younger kids because we just do sensory play afterwards, which lets them communicate with their caregiver. We explore colors, shapes, opposites, just those conversations that are so important to early childhood development. But we do stories and we do our rhymes. And then Thursdays we do a craft afterwards. So then we're working on, you know, coloring, cutting, gluing, listening to instructions. It's kind of getting them ready for a class setting while also forcing adults to do arts and crafts, which sometimes they're not as good at as their children are. I love seeing adults struggling cutting things
out.
Isn't
that kind of funny? I mean, especially with those little scissors. Man, what a pain. Now, one of my favorite programs, I didn't even know this was a thing until I moved up here, actually, and learned about it. And I thought, ingenious, Free Build Fridays. I never thought, you know, I want to play with Legos. Let's go to the library. But that's exactly what this is, isn't it?
Yes. It actually all began when we got a very large donation of Legos to the library. Somebody, you know, was getting rid of their totes of Legos and just brought them in and said, do you want these? And we'll take anything. So we're like, we'll figure out something to do with it. I need to clarify, we will not take anything. But we were trying to figure out something to do with it. I was doing like a tween program, so we'd do some Lego building, and that was fun. And I realized all kids like to play with Legos, so we just shoved them out there and let them go crazy. And it's so fun to watch. I mean, it's my staff's favorite program because we just put out Legos and then let them have fun. It's pretty low cost to us because it's an all-day program. And seeing the grandparents who are obsessed with building Legos. Yeah. I've watched two grandmas build the biggest tower so they could knock it down while their toddlers sat and played with like dinosaurs, not even Legos. So it's really great to see those interactions between adults and children. And it is just building that early vocabulary. And it's a great place for older kids to go, where it's a safe meeting space. You know, if you want to have a play date, that's a really good place to go. If you're maybe not at the place where you're like, I want to clean my house and have this person over, meet at the library, have a coffee with your friends so you can chat and your kids can play with Legos and you don't have to be worrying about where they are, what they're doing. They're right there, but you also get some me time and get a chance to connect with other adults with children, which can be challenging, I know, sometimes.
Zola, I never thought of that. That is an excellent idea.
Yeah.
You know, because generally, we all kind of had kids around the same time when I did. And we were always kind of looking for something. Usually, it's let's go to the park, let's go over here. But you're right. The library is a safe space where we can go and share a coffee, have a conversation. And the kids are busy, you know, either building Legos or going through the books, checking things out.
Or flying around in dragon wings. We have dragon wings.
See, that's amazing. And it's just a good spot. And I'm going to use a word here that I think is overused. But when I use it, I really do mean it. And it's wholesome. Something that I think is not lost, but it's hard to find everywhere nowadays. A good wholesome spot we can go and sit. You know that no matter what my kid is doing in this building, it's probably improving him or her as a person.
Yes.
You know?
And that's, I mean, it's so great because it's a safe, safe space where, I mean, we still say that you have to keep an eye on your own child.
Of course, yes.
Because, you know, who knows what's going on.
They're librarians, not babysitters.
We have librarians who are keeping an eye on everything. And we're making sure that it is a safe space for anybody to go to, no matter what. And that they're going to feel like they are welcome there, and not just that they're welcome. I want people to see the library as theirs because it is theirs. You pay taxes.
Yeah.
So take the ownership and make it the space that you want to see it be. And that's what I see all of my patrons doing. My parents are so supportive of each other, even if they don't know each other. If a mom's struggling because one kid's screaming and the other kid's running out the door, I mean, another mom's gonna go and grab that kid and say, maybe we don't run outside right now. Or even say, like, I saw an interaction where a mom was like, hey, if you ever need a babysitter, I'm available, to a complete stranger, because she had three kids and was very busy,
yeah.
You know? So I think being a parent can be so isolating.
It can.
And I mean, I'm not a parent, but I know what my sister went through with just, it's a lot to be alone with this child in day in and day out. So finding somebody else who can help you with that is really important. And I see those connections being made at the library every single day. And that's really, really good for me to see.
Well, and I love the fact that you're talking about it, because it's not something that we generally think, mm-hmm. you know, that my library is my community hub, mm-hmm. the center where I can go as a parent, let my kids run around, and oh my goodness, now I've networked with other parents,
mm-hmm.
and we've got this new community that we can be a part of.
Yeah.
Just by going to the library.
Yeah. And if there isn't anybody else for you to talk to who's an adult there, you can always come and talk to me. I'm not a real adult, but I will talk to you.
And you try though, right?
Sometimes I can tell that stay-at-home parents just need to have a conversation with another adult for 10 minutes. And I will always do that for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Because I think it gets to be like, when's the last time we left the house?
Yeah.
When's the last time I took a shower? When's the last time I had a conversation not about my child? So I'm always willing to talk books with parents, anything. That's why we're there.
And that's another thing. Yeah. I mean, you're a librarian. I can talk to you about anything, but then at the same time, I can say, hey, what book should I take home with me
yeah.
when I do get a free moment to sit down?
Well, I probably will install the Libby app on your phone while you're not looking and download some for you. But I'm always open to give recommendations. I read a lot of books.
You know, since we've talked about it, you've said it twice. Let's go ahead and look at that. I've only got 4 minutes left. And there is one more question that I do want to ask you before I get too carried away. How do I download that Libby app on my phone? Is it in the App Store?
Yeah,
it's in the App Store,
Google Play, whatever you have. It's available for Kindle now. For the longest time, it wasn't, because I think Amazon probably thought we don't want a free book service on all of our things. But it's now available through Kindle. So just go to your App Store and search Libby. It's Libby. And then you need your library card number. If you don't know that, you can give us a call. If you don't have one, you can come in and get a library card. It costs absolutely nothing. And then you enter your PIN, which, if you don't know it, come to the library, call us, ask us. It's usually WILD, W-Y-L-D, if you didn't reset it. And then you log in, and you can get going. And it's a statewide thing, so we share the books across the entire state. There are also magazines on Libby, which I always have downloaded, because I don't like to read books on my phone. It's too small.
Yeah.
But if I'm sitting in a waiting room, I can flip through a magazine while I'm waiting and not feel like I'm not paying attention
right.
to my surroundings. So,
well, and my dad was a big magazine guy. It's Popular Science,
mm-hmm.
Outdoors Magazine, and Popular Mechanics were three magazines that I remember growing up with in the house all the time.
I believe we have all of those. Don't quote me on it, but I think I've seen. I don't read those, so.
I'm sure you guys probably do. Extremely popular magazines.
Yes.
And great for people around here.
I do now, know we have Vogue.
Of course. Now, the one thing that I did want to ask you just before I lose you, the new kids gallery, what is this?
We have coloring pages at the library, which are fabulous. Kids love coloring them. They're always bringing them to me to display in my office. And if you've ever seen my office, there's not a lot of room in there. So I have created a kids gallery on the wall with those picture frames that you can remove and change the pictures. So anytime
cool.
a kid wants to display their artwork, it can be one of our coloring pages. Or if you work on something at home and you're very proud of it, bring it in and we will hang it up in the library, because we have such amazing artists at our library.
Oh, yeah.
And they really need to see their artwork up there to know that they can be on the mezzanine one day. In fact, I'm actually working on trying to put together a kids show for
the mezzanine. Oh, that would be fantastic.
Very, very fun. So
that would be absolutely amazing. You guys have beautiful art up
yeah.
there a couple times a year. I think that would be great to add one more show our littles having their first bid art exhibit.
I want to see them all in Little Texas.
That's the whole reason, right?
Always.
So everyone gets to get dudded up.
It's just for the outfits.
And since I've got you still for about 45 more seconds, books and a bite. This program is going to continue this year.
Yes, beginning on June 10th and running through our whole program. We are partnering with the food group. I will read 3 stories under a shady tree. Kids will get a snack and get to enjoy the library. So that's every day, Monday through Friday at 11.
That's fantastic. Yes. Thank you so much, Zola. I greatly appreciate you coming in today. It's always good to see you. Good to see you returned.
Yeah, I'm back.
You're back. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
The Bighorn Home Builders Home and Garden Show was another huge success, thanks in part to all the vendors and the community. First Federal was proud to be a major sponsor again. We hope you got a lot of ideas for this spring and summer. Let the team at First Federal Bank and Trust help you achieve your dream of home ownership. We offer a variety of loan programs, refinancing options, and lot and construction loans. Making home happen wherever you are. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The 6th Annual Forever West Extreme Bulls Bull Riding Event is coming to Buffalo May 18th at the Johnson County Fairgrounds. There are plenty of opportunities for you and your business to be a partner through marketing opportunities that include free tickets, your logo on the replay screen, the website and social media site with over 1.4 million followers. Contact Sarah 307-751-6320. That's 751-6320 to be part of Forever West Extreme Bulls 2024.
Mark April 26th on your calendars for something truly special. Join Compass Center for Families at the historic Sheridan Inn for the annual Light of Hope Breakfast, a gathering of hearts and hands dedicated to making a difference in Sheridan County. This year, they are recognizing the Sheridan County YMCA as their champion for children. And the best part, it's absolutely free. RSVP by calling Compass Center for Families or emailing Andrea at compass4families.org.
Sheridan County is home to some of the most beautiful scenery in Wyoming. Rolling hills, the majestic Bighorn Mountains, clean streams, fields painted with vibrant colors. Hi, Bob Grammons here. We at Sheridan Media are excited to once again welcome back spring. And it also means it's time to step up and pitch in and help enhance our county's natural beauty by participating in the annual Trees for Trash program. It's Saturday, May 4th. Just bring your spring cleanup trash to the city landfill on East Ridge Road between 9 a.m. and 2 o'clock. Drop it off. Receive a free Colorado blue spruce seedling. It's great for the communities of Sheridan County, and it's free. And a big thank you goes out to our fantastic Trees for Trash sponsors, ERA Carroll Realty, U.S. Bank, Wyoming Corporate Office, Landon's Greenhouse and Nursery, Sheridan County, and, of course, the city of Sheridan. So mark your calendar. Saturday, May 4th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. for Trees for Trash.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit efirstfederal.bank.
Who wants to play chicken poop bingo? Our 4-H Club set a goal to raise $10,000 to support Wyoming State Fair Endowment and improvements for the Sheridan County Fairgrounds.
How the game works. There are 100 squares for $100 each and place 3 chickens on the bingo board. The first chicken to poop on their number wins $1,000, second wins $500, and third wins $250. If you are interested, please call Jessica Barnes at 307-630-9958.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 1 on News Talk 930 and 103.9 FM.